I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all within me bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all.
Thank you, choir, for that call to worship. And thank you, my friend, for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. On today's broadcast, we'll be studying from the final chapter of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. If you have your Bible close by, or if you can open the app on your phone, I'll be reading from chapter 13. I think it will be a blessing to you if you can follow along as I read the scripture. This program, The Voice of Hope, is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel ministry using media to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. The teaching you hear on this program is translated into 22 other languages and is distributed in various media formats to many, many different places around the world. Here's a response from a man who listens to our Telugu language programs in the country of India. He says, I am from a tiny interior village and am an elder in our small church. After listening to the Bible study on 1 Corinthians, I felt our congregation should hear this. Is there some way they can do that? I listen to your radio program every Sunday without fail, and I am glad to let you know that I am blessed personally. Thank you for broadcasting such blessed truths from the Word of God so clearly. If you have a booklet of these Bible studies, please write my name and address down as I share it with you. Thank you so much for the Word and for your help. Praise God, this brother is being encouraged greatly in his walk with the Lord, and it's not only affecting him, it's affecting his congregation too. But you know, it's the prayers and gifts of people just like you who are listening to this program right now who make the Telugu broadcast a reality. So if you're a partner with us, the thanks of this listener belongs to you. And if you're not yet a partner with us, you can be. We invite you to become one today. To learn more about Heralds of Hope, visit our website, heraldsofhope.org. Now let's get to today's teaching from 2 Corinthians 13, the final message in this entire series. May I ask you a question? Are you in good health? How do you know that you're in good health? What standard do you use to make that determination? Good health is a tremendous blessing, and when you have it, it's easy to take it for granted. In many ways, it's a gift from God. But I remind you that our lifestyle choices also have a significant impact on our health. When I was a boy, my parents and siblings rarely went to the doctor. As very young children, I know we had periodic wellness checks with our family doctor, and I know that we got our required immunizations so we could attend public school. But our parents didn't take us to the doctor for colds and chickenpox, sore throats, upset stomachs and fevers, things like that. We appreciated the doctors, but we only used them when we absolutely needed them. How things have changed. Now even minor discomfort causes people to head for their medicine cabinet, urgent care, or even the emergency room. And you know, for some people, physical health has become an obsession, and the medical profession has obliged them by becoming a very profitable business. I've discovered that even having blood work done can be quite pricey. I'm now in my sixth decade of life, and I'm constantly told that I should have this test and that exam and that screening and on and on. Like the rest of you, I value my health, so I recently scheduled an appointment to have a screening for the risk of stroke, cardiovascular disease, and more. Now, I don't have a family history of those things, but I just thought it might be good to get it checked out. But you know, as important as physical health is, spiritual health is so much more important. And that's because our physical life is limited to the realm of time. But our spirits will live on forever. I know some people are uncomfortable with my casual approach to doctors and medical screenings, but those same people will totally ignore their spiritual health. That is not a wise thing to do. Did you know that just like there are tests for your physical health, there are tests you can take to evaluate your spiritual health? There are. And we want to look at them in this study from the final chapter of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Now, the church at Corinth had some real spiritual ailments, and Paul closes this second letter by asking them a question. The question he asked them is just as applicable to you and me today. And here it is: are you in the faith? And then Paul shows us how to find the answer to that question. So I invite you to listen and follow along, if you can, as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I have told you before, and foretell as if I were present the second time. And now being absent, I say ahead of time to those who have sinned before, and to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification, and not for destruction. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. In the closing portion of this letter, Paul proposes several tests we can use to prove whether or not we are in the faith. The first test we can use to prove whether or not we are in the faith is examine the source of your power. There are a couple of phrases I want us to notice in this first section of verses, 1 through 5. They are mighty in you and by the power of God. This second phrase, by the power of God, is mentioned twice. First of all, Christ lives by the power of God. That is, even though from a human viewpoint, his death seemed an obvious indication of weakness, he was resurrected by the life-giving power of God. And because of that, you and I as Christ followers live with him by the power of Christ toward us. That calls to mind Paul's words in his letter to the Romans. Listen, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now catch this. "Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." That's Romans chapter 8 and verses 9 to 11. And so Paul's conclusion is very clear in this process of determining whether or not you are in the faith. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, then you do not belong to him, and you are not in the faith. Now maybe you think it's not that simple, but it is. And that's what Paul was wanting those in Corinth who professed to be believers to understand. Paul was calling his readers to examine themselves, to test themselves, to determine whether or not they were still in the faith. His use of the word yourselves is emphatic. He was specifically addressing those in Corinth who were opposing the purity of the gospel. And you may recall that earlier in his first letter, he challenged them to examine themselves in the context of participating in the observance of the Lord's table. What is the faith that Paul was talking about? When I was working on the manuscript for this teaching, Microsoft Word didn't like the words "the faith." It kept wanting to eliminate the word "the." But Paul is referring specifically to biblical faith, that is, a believing attitude toward Jesus Christ. He's not talking about just any faith, or faith in myself, or faith in a creed, or faith in a system, but belief and trust in a person. And so when you and I, by faith, accept the sacrifice of Jesus as the only acceptable payment for our sin, we become partakers of that same power that raised Christ from the dead. Our sins are forgiven, and according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become or are becoming new. When Paul calls us as believers to test ourselves, that implies that we're making a deliberate attempt to ascertain or gauge or measure our spiritual condition. And proving is the result that comes out of the testing. If Jesus Christ is mighty in you, Paul said, you will pass the test. You know, there are only two sources of power in the world. One is God, and the other is Satan. Satan exercises his power in the hearts of those who are unredeemed or unsaved. Their focus is on themselves, their pleasure, their benefit. And it doesn't take any power to live like that. You just have to follow your natural inclinations. But God exercises his power in the hearts of those who have trusted him for salvation. Their focus is on bringing glory to him by loving and serving others. They submit to his will, and they allow his power to flow through them to other people. Testing the source of power in your life will answer the question, are you in the faith? And then there's another test we can use to prove whether or not we're in the faith. It is, examine the motivation for your choices. Do you know how to find out whether or not the Spirit of Christ is in you? Here's a very simple test. Look at the choices you make every day. If someone makes an offensive comment about you or your reputation, how do you respond? If you respond in the Spirit, by the power of God, then you will forgive them. and perhaps even try to return good for that evil. If you respond out of your flesh, you will be angry, maybe bitter, and seek revenge. When someone sins against you and me, our immediate reaction is usually out of our flesh, our old nature, the unredeemed part of us. That's definitely how unbelievers expect us to respond. And if we don't respond like that, those who don't know Christ see our response as being weak. But you know, that's not true. It takes a strength much greater than our own to respond in the way that Jesus would and in the way that he taught us to. In the context of this letter, Paul is asking them to test the motives for their actions, not so he would look good, but so they would learn to do what is right. He had warned them that when he came to Corinth the next time, he would exercise discipline as it was needed, perhaps even severe discipline. And he really didn't want to do that. He wasn't looking forward to that with some kind of perverse delight or pleasure. He wasn't hoping to make himself look better at their expense. In fact, Paul said he would much rather be seen as weak in order that the Corinthians would be strong in doing what was right. And he reassured them that any discipline he would bring would be for their edification and not for their destruction. I say, many church leaders today could learn from Paul's example. Now, while Paul was dealing with their motives, there's another aspect to this. Motivation, to some degree, gives evidence of maturity or the lack of it. Paul wanted the Corinthian believers to become mature in their faith, and this is a common theme throughout this letter. Mature believers don't need the threat of discipline hanging over them to make the right choices. They do right because they know it's right. The power of the Holy Spirit in them guides their choices. So when was the last time you made a deliberate decision to evaluate your spiritual condition? When was the last time your life choices proved that you were living under the control of the Holy Spirit, whom you received when you responded in faith to Christ? Those lifestyle choices don't save you. Let's be clear about that. But they do indicate whether or not you are truly in the faith, whether or not you are truly a new creature in Christ. And so as you examine the motivation for the choices in your life, are you in the faith? The final test we can use then to prove whether or not we are in the faith is examine the level of your love. Paul had written a long letter to the Corinthians, and he'd addressed a lot of different issues, but now he's coming to the end. In his closing, he gives them several ways to test the level of their love for God and then for each other. First, he writes, "Be perfected." That's quite an admonition for such a conflicted congregation. And the grammar indicates continuous action. I understand this word was used by ancient physicians to speak of a joint being put back into its proper place after it had been dislocated. As you probably know, a dislocated joint is painful. It causes weakness, and we're not able to perform at the level we should. You know, dislocations in the relationships have the same effect. They cause pain, and they cause dysfunction. And then he says, take courage. This is the same word that's used repeatedly in the New Testament to describe the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. Paul encourages the Corinthians to receive admonition that would bring comfort to them. It would call them to put their arm around a brother or sister in mutual love and respect, and then it would accept that same kind of love in return. He goes on, be of one mind and live in peace. The church in Corinth was notorious for its dissension and conflict, and Paul encourages them to reject that practice and to cultivate a peaceful disposition. Don't be the person in your circles who is known to have a short fuse or a hair-trigger temperament. Hebrews 12:14 gives us good advice. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. When you pursue something, you're intentional about it. You intend to catch it and hold on to it. Let's be that way about living in peace. There are many people today who loudly and publicly proclaim their love for God, but the evidence of their love for their brothers and sisters in Christ is almost non-existent. In fact, some of them even state openly that they have no need for the local church, for the local body. But call to mind the words of the Apostle John. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Paul closes his instruction by urging them to demonstrate that love to their brothers and sisters in a tangible way, a kiss of love. Now, historically, this was practiced at the celebration of the Eucharist, or what many of us today call communion, and a minority of churches still practice it. When was the last time you evaluated your love for your brothers and sisters? Think about your most recent interactions with those who are part of your local fellowship. How did you respond to their questions, their opinions, their choices, or even their presence? Did you make it a point to greet them, or did you avoid them? Were you willing to truly hear what they had to say, or were you more concerned about your own agenda? Were you willing to see them or their ideas preferred above yours? Were you tender-hearted, courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that to this you were called? You see, these are all ways to test the level of your love for the brotherhood, and they are vital in determining whether or not you are still in the faith. The final verse of 2 Corinthians contains the most complete benediction in all of Paul's letters. Here he invokes the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit upon each of them, and upon the whole group. I encourage you to take some time to meditate on that benediction, and to see how these three expressions of God's person align with the three tests that we've looked at in this teaching. Are you in the faith? Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scripture, these three tests will enable you to discern the answer to that all-important question.
In a world of confusion, in a world of great delusion, there's a way. There's a way. In a world of roadblocks, in a world of traps and hard knocks, there's a way. There's a way. Jesus, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No matter what the world says, his words remain the same. He is the only one who gives true peace and hope, for he's the only way to God, the way, the truth, the life. In a world of verbal quarrels, in a world of twisted morals, there is truth, there is truth. In a world of deception, in a world of dark perceptions, there is truth, there is truth. Jesus, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No matter what the world says, his words remain the same. He is the only one who gives true peace and hope, for he's the only way to God, the way, the truth, the life. In a world of shame, in a world of short-lived fame, there is life, there is life. In a world of grim tomorrows, in a world of death and sorrow, there is life, there is life. Jesus, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No matter what the world says, his words remain the same. He is the only one who gives true peace and hope, for he's the only way to God, the way, the truth, the life.
Thanks for joining us today for the Voice of Hope. If you have questions about what you heard, or if you'd like a copy of this teaching, just let us know. Perhaps you'd like to share it with a friend. If so, we'd be happy to send to you a printed or a digital copy. Just ask for it by the title, Are You in the Faith? The easiest way to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. And if you prefer the old-fashioned way of contacting us, our mailing address is The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. To review today's program or to listen to archived programs, just log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen when it's convenient for you. If you'd like to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. We also invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. And of course, you can mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope, and until we meet again, live in the anticipation of this coming reality.
There's a city that looks o'er the valley of death, and its glory has never been told. Where the Lamb is the light in the midst of the night, in that beautiful city of gold. Like the stars.